Greetings, this is Dan Stultz. You can reach me on my blog, itproguru.com. In this short video, I'm going to walk through the process of installing the Hyper-V role onto a Windows Server 2016 machine. As soon as you launch the machine, it's going to automatically bring you into Server Manager. But if you've already closed Server Manager, you can get to it from this icon on the taskbar. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Add Remove Features. On the Before You Begin screen wizard, just click Next. And then on the installation type, you can just click Next as well, because we're going to do a role-based or feature-based installation. On Select the Server, chances are there's only going to be one here. That's your server. This gives you the opportunity to install on different servers as well. We're going to take the default, which is the current server. And what we're installing is actually a role. So I'm going to scroll down to Hyper-V. You'll see Hyper-V is here. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Hyper-V. It'll bring up another box asking me to add features that are required for Hyper-V. So I'm going to go ahead and accept those. And I'm also going to include the management tools by leaving that checkbox checked. So I'm going to click on Add Features. And I'm going to go ahead and click on Next to finish that out. That will bring you up to the Features page. I don't need any additional features for Hyper-V to work, because those features were already added by the module, by the role-based installer. So I'm going to click on Next. And then Next for this information screen. Now, when it comes to your switches, in Hyper-V, you have to have one switch one Ethernet adapter that is dedicated to your management interface. And what this is doing here is it's giving you the capability of going in and creating a network during the installation. So I'm going to go ahead and turn this on just for simplicity, but you could also do this after the fact. You can manually create a switch. And what this is saying is this Ethernet adapter, this Intel adapter, it's going to go ahead and create a virtual switch for it using the Virtual Switch Manager. For migrations, this setting allows the server to send and receive live migrations of virtual machines. Now, in my case, I don't want to set up live migration, but to do that, all you'd have to do is turn on the checkbox and then select what type of security you wanted to use for your authentication protocol. Now, your default locations, this is where you would define where you want your virtual machines to land whenever you create them, both your virtual machine configuration files and your virtual hard disks. And in my case, I'm going to go ahead and browse out to create a folder. Generally, you're not going to do this on the C drive. In my case, I'm going to do it on the C drive just because this is a demo. But generally, you're going to do it on the D, E, F, some other data drive, not your boot drive. So I'm going to just make a folder called Hyper-V. And I'm going to use that folder. So I'm going to go ahead and change this location to my C drive. And then I'm going to go to Hyper-V. And for my configuration files, I'm going to do the same thing. Now, you could set these in different folders. And in fact, I think I will. I'll go ahead and set this to Hyper-V. And I'll make a new folder. And this one is going to be called VMs. Okay. So that way my disks are in the main folder, but my machine configuration files are in a subfolder. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Next. And then it is going to force a restart, but I'm not going to restart. I'll restart manually. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Install. While this is running, I'll also share with you, in your BIOS, you do need to have virtualization enabled. So that's going to be a prerequisite. After installing the Hyper-V role, you do have to reboot the machine. I'm going to go ahead and close out of this box. Under Hyper-V, you'll see that Hyper-V is now under server roles. If you click on it to look at the details, you'll see that it's online, but a restart is pending. So we'll need to restart before we can actually start using Hyper-V. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now. Okay, after logging into the server, Server Manager will automatically launch again. You'll see that the Hyper-V is running now. It is green. And so I'm going to go ahead and go into the Hyper-V Manager. So if we go to, actually we can do it from Tools. And then Hyper-V Manager under, again, I'm under Server Manager, Tools, Hyper-V Manager. And you'll see that the server is here. And if I go to Hyper-V settings, I just want to show you a couple of things here. First of all, under the location, it took my default location where I put in my virtual machines and my virtual machine hard disk, the default locations for those. And this is where you can set a lot of different options for your Hyper-V server. So I'm going to go ahead and cancel out of this for now. And I'm going to go to the Virtual Switch Manager. The Virtual Switch Manager allows you to link an interface to a virtual switch. So you'll see in this case that I've already got my external network that has, I have a virtual switch and it's tied to my external network interface card. And you'll also see that I have Allow Management Operating System to Share This Network Adapter turned on. So whenever you do this, basically you're setting up inside of your network manager. So if I go to network connections on this server, you'll see what happened is I have a virtual Ethernet adapter and I have a standard Ethernet. If I go click on properties of this, you'll see that it is the Microsoft LLDP protocol driver and the Hyper-V extensible switch. So it's not a standard, it is no longer a standard network interface card because it's basically being used as a bridge to this Hyper-V switch. So if I go to the properties of the Hyper-V switch, you'll see that I have everything turned on for that. So this has now become my default or my primary network adapter. So anytime you make changes to your virtual switches here, like if I were to delete this or if I had to add a new switch, it's actually going to add and reconfigure all your network. So you will lose network connectivity whenever you make changes in your Hyper-V virtual switch manager. In my case, I'm all set up and ready to go. So the next thing that I need to do is to create a virtual machine. So to do that, new virtual machine, so I've right-clicked on the server name, go to new virtual machine. I could also access it over here from the actions menu. So I'm going to do a new virtual machine, and I'm going to step through that wizard next. The virtual machine name, and I'm just going to call this Win10 VM. Now, notice the location. It's going to store it in my default location. I could also pick a different location if I wanted to do that. Whether I want it to be a generation 1 or a generation 2 VM, I actually want to use this as a generation 1 because presumably I might want to open it up in an older version of Hyper-V or upload it to Azure or other. Generally though, moving forward, you're probably going to want to use a generation 2. How much memory do you want to have for startup memory? In my case, I'm going to use 2048. So I'm going to give it 2 gig of memory to start with. And I also want to turn on dynamic memory. So whenever you go to configure the network, you want to attach it to that virtual switch that we created earlier. And you want to create a hard disk. So 128 gig hard disk. Again, the default location is going to be where I set the default path to be. And I'm going to say next. For my installation options, I'm going to install an operating system later because I have to attach a CD-ROM in order to do a DVD in order to do that. And click on finish. It only takes a couple of seconds to create that virtual machine. I'm going to right-click on the virtual machine and go to Settings, and you can look at all the different configuration of that machine. So you'll notice my memory, dynamic memory is enabled. My startup RAM is 2 gigs, so whenever before it will start the machine, it will make sure it has that much system memory available to allocate to it. And you'll see I have one processor. The hard drive is there. The DVD is there. Notice also the hard drive is on an IDE controller. My smart page file location is in the same place as my VMs. I have an automatic start action. If the machine was running, I'm going to automatically have it. I'm going to automatically start if it was running when the service was stopped. So if I reboot the server, if the machine was running, it's going to start it up again whenever it comes back up. But you can change these settings. And automatic stop action, I'm going to keep the default of save the virtual machine state. So that's it. All I have to do now is if I go into settings, I can attach a CD. The way to do that is to click on this. And I can use a physical drive or I can use an image file. Attach it that way. I hope you've enjoyed this presentation. You can reach me on Twitter @ITProGuru or my blog, itproguru.com.